Hi, I'm Matthew Kind. Every Monday, look for a fresh new episode where I'll take you behind the scenes and interview the insiders that are shaping the rapidly evolving cannabis industry. Learn more at cannainsider.com. That's C-A-N-N-A insider.com. Now here's your program.
Today's guest is a serial entrepreneur, accomplished inventor, and a Forbes 30 under 30 who left a decorated career in the medical device industry to start his own cannabis brand. In just 2 years, his company is now one of California's top pre-roll brands, carried in over 250 dispensaries across the state. I'm pleased to welcome Scott Sundvor of Space Coyote to the show. Scott, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here.
Give us a sense of geography. Where are you in the world today?
Today, I'm in Laguna Beach, California, so Southern California.
Awesome. Cool. And what is Space Coyote on a high level? Can you give us kind of like an overview of the company?
Yeah. So Space Coyote sells, we sell primarily infused joints. So high quality, high potency joints that are infused with the best extracts on the market. So hash, live resin, diamonds, all infused. But really, we think of ourselves not just as a product company. We really are creating a brand that people can get behind. And so what comes along with that is creating this, you know, more of a dream of what California cannabis can be and the lifestyle that you can live, being both an entrepreneur, but really in just anything that people want to do and how cannabis can be a part of that.
Very cool. And I know there's a really cool story behind the name Space Coyote, which I want to get to in a second here. But first, Scott, I want to backtrack a little bit. You only really got into the cannabis space a couple of years ago at this point. Can you share a little bit about your background and what led you to start Space Coyote?
Yeah, so my background before Space Coyote was in the medical device space, as you mentioned. So I got my engineering degree from MIT. And about a year after graduating, I started a company called NEMA that created the world's first portable sensors for people that had food allergies. So if you had a gluten allergy or a peanut allergy, you could use our product to test your food on the spot and make sure that those allergens weren't present. So it really just made eating for people who had food intolerances or food allergies a lot safer. And the reason I came to that company was because I myself have suffered with a lot of gut issues through my life. I have Crohn's disease, which is an autoimmune gut disease. And because of that also, I found cannabis was very medicinally helpful for me when I was in college. I ate some pot brownies that my roommate made one night, and I had been, you know, recreationally using for a while at that point. I just love the plant in general. But the first time I had those pot brownies, the next day, my gut felt incredible. And after having a few more pot brownies over the course of the next week or two, I realized that there was a direct correlation between how my gut felt and how much cannabis I was consuming. So when I was making the decision to leave my last company and I was thinking about what to do next, I think there's a small percentage of people in the world that are crazy enough to be entrepreneurs multiple times in a row. And I knew that I wanted to start something else. And my co-founder in Space Coyote, Libby, she was the creative director of Ease at the time, who was at the time, they were the largest cannabis delivery company in California, I believe in America. And so being able to just, you know, see what she was experiencing there, how quick the growth was, and knowing that I had this this manufacturing and supply chain background that, I mean, with we weren't directly a medical device, but we were, you know, we worked under a lot of the same scrutiny that medical devices do, and a very complex supply chain across three different continents. And taking that experience and applying it to cannabis, where the entire supply chain has to operate within one state. I mean, an infused joint has maybe five different components in it, including the packaging, versus the product that I was building that had several hundred components. I just thought that, first of all, cannabis was something that I loved and had helped me a lot, both recreationally and medicinally. And There was just a ton of opportunity at that time in the industry. I think there still is. And the background that I had combined with the background that Libby had just was the perfect fit to get into the industry at that time.
Very cool. Yeah. So just to paint a picture for listeners, you started NEMA when you were only 22, which then was named one of Time Magazine's best inventions in 2015. You were then named a Forbes 30 Under 30 at 27. And you've gone on now to launch Space Coyote, which has seen great success over the last couple of years. So can you tell us a little bit about your experiences over the last decade and how you now apply those at Space Coyote?
Yeah, definitely. So I think that I look at it in two ways. One is from the management and the leadership side, and the other is from just understanding how products are built and how to successfully launch and scale a business. So with my first company, I mean, yeah, I was very young when I went in. I mean, I'm intelligent. I've always worked very hard to, you know, do my best in whatever role I'm at. And so as part of my first company, that meant, you know, reading as many leadership books as I could, getting mentorship where I could. I ended up hiring an executive coach, which was extremely helpful. But the second time around now, Space Coyote, I'm already seeing so many situations where I'm such a better leader. I'm such a better manager. I treat my employees better. I understand them better. I have more empathy. And that has been extremely helpful in, building an organization that functions really well. And I'm really grateful for having that experience when I was so young. I mean, most people, I think the average age of a first-time entrepreneur is 28, something like that. And so I had that experience much younger, and I'm really, really grateful for that. But also with that company, we built extremely complex hardware that had chemistry built into it. We had a software development team, built an app. And so over the course of that company, I managed, I think the only department in the company that I never managed at NEMA was finance. So I managed our sales and marketing team. I managed our engineering team. I managed our operations team. And so I got all this experience of just how to, first of all, build a product with a very complex supply chain, and then how to commercialize that and how to launch a product and how to get other people on board, and even the fundraising process, how to bring cash in. And so being able to take all of that experience and then apply it to this industry has really just been so valuable because, I mean, cannabis is definitely a complex industry. It's more difficult than your standard CPG or that type of thing. But I hear a lot of people in the industry, even investors, talking about how difficult cannabis is. And coming from basically a medical device to this, my perspective has always been like, yeah, you know, there's some challenges here, but like this shit's easy compared to what I was used to. So I'm very grateful to have that, you know, that education both from college, but then especially from my first company of really being put through the ringer. And of course, there are still things that come up with Space Coyote that are very difficult and take a lot of manpower and brain power to solve the issues. But I feel like I'm just set up so much better having had that first time founder experience with NEMA before coming into Space Coyote.
Very cool. Yeah, I mean, it sounds like you really have the full gamut of experience when it comes to the inner workings of a company. And like you said, I feel like there are actually a good bit of overlap between cannabis and kind of the medical device field in terms of regulations and compliance. So I'm sure you really put through the ringer there, and it's helped you a lot here, clearly. So that's awesome. Okay, so Scott, getting back to, I kind of alluded to the story about the name Space Coyote earlier. Can you tell us a little bit about the experience that sparked the inspiration for that name?
Yeah, it was a great weekend. It actually happened to be the day after my final day at NEMA. So I decided to leave that company, and my co-founder was taking over running everything. The company was in great hands. And so I left NEMA, had my last day there, which was very bittersweet. And the next day actually happened to be my birthday. And so I gathered a group of about 25 of my friends. We all went down to Joshua Tree. We're in the desert. And it also happened that that weekend there was a new moon and a meteor shower. So no moonlight and just all these meteors. And so I brewed a big batch of mushroom tea, enough to feed everyone. And so we all drank some mushroom tea, and then it was pitch black outside, and you could see the Milky Way and you could see all these stars, and we were traipsing about the desert and climbing up on top of boulders. And I've never had an experience where I so completely felt that we literally are on a rock just flying through space. And it was just with how dark the sky was, and you could see all these stars, and every few seconds there were meteors flying through. And then we started hearing some coyotes yipping, and one of my friends goes, "Oh my God, we're space coyotes." and immediately then when we kept saying that for the rest of the weekend, and actually one of our taglines with space coyotes, "Get glazed." And that actually came from a typo. We had created a Facebook event that invited all my friends to this. Libby had actually set this up, who's my co-founder, and she had made a typo that instead of saying Scott's stargazing birthday, it was Scott's starglazing birthday. And so get glazed, stuck, space coyote stuck. At that time, we didn't yet have a plan for exactly what cannabis company we were going to launch. We knew that was something that we were interested in. And over the course of the next 3 to 6 months, we did the market research that we wanted to, thought about what type of products we wanted to introduce to the market. And the whole time we knew that we had a name. The name was perfect. It was Space Coyote guaranteed. We just had to create a product that really fit that Space Coyote get glazed vibe that we had created in the desert that night.
Man, what a like serendipitous story. Like, so many brands, you know, toil over, they maybe have their product ready to go, but they then have to like spend months and months toiling over a name. And that's just amazing that you guys kind of just like happened to come up with that over a fun weekend. That's it's a great name too. Very memorable.
<Thank you. laughs>
That's awesome. So cool. Okay. So getting into Space Coyote, can you tell me a little bit more about how you guys came up with your product? I know it's an infused pre-roll. How is it different from other infused pre-rolls on the market? And how do you guys go about sourcing your flower and crafting each pre-roll that you now sell?
Yeah. So for us, it was a very research-based approach. So we knew that we wanted to make something that, one, was a product that we wanted to use ourselves, because really I believe that in order to really be able to stay committed while you're being an entrepreneur and a founder, and to feel comfortable and excited to sell something, that has to be something that you would use yourself, that you would want yourself. So that was the first criteria. It had to be something that we wanted to use ourselves. And also we wanted to create a product that we knew that we were going to be able to sell easily, and that wasn't going to have a ton of competition right off the bat, that was more unique than just your everyday cannabis product. And with Libby's background coming from Ease, she had just observed the course of the market over the past couple years before that. And she knew that really one of the biggest things that customers look for is that price to THC ratio. So they want as much THC for the lowest prices they can get. And we really do see that dominating the market. It's honestly something that I dislike, because I think that there's a ton of cannabis that is incredible, that is low THC, and just the terpene content is what makes it really amazing. But the metric that most customers look at is THC, and we didn't want to fight an uphill battle. So we wanted to make something that spoke to the way that customers are making purchasing decisions today. And so we looked at a few different things. We settled on infused pre-rolls partially because we were already rolling those ourselves. One of my favorite things to do at that time was to get some high CBD flower and roll a joint with some sativa or indica hash mixed in. And we just thought that was an incredible product. There were a couple infused joints on the market. at the time when we launched, but they were all done in a different way than what we did, where they basically painted their joints with distillate and then rolled them in keef to create the infusion. And from our perspective, that just is not a high quality product. Like distillate is the cheapest, lowest quality type of extract you can get. Keef, a lot of times, keef can be high quality. A lot of times it's not. And when the extract is on the outside of the joint, then a lot of it ends up just burning up, or the smoke gets in your eyes and instead of your lungs. And so we wanted to do an infused joint where we were actually using high quality flour. We have never used trim or shake in our joints, and we never will. And we always use very high quality extracts. So the first thing that we did was collaborate with a hash brand. We've now also done collaborations with live resin brands. We've done collaborations on diamonds. And that's because we want to show our customers that we're putting the best quality ingredients into our product. And if they see Nasha Hash or Field Live Resin or Guild Diamonds in there, they know that that is a high quality extract. And so they can trust that we're providing a high quality product for them.
That's awesome. So for your various products, obviously you've got kind of a wide selection at this point, but what would you say when you get customer feedback, what are some like adjectives that they give you for their experience smoking these pre-rolls?
That's been one of the great things about the way that we've built our product, and that we just wanted it to be high quality, and we didn't even really think about how big of an impact this would have. But every time we give someone one of our joints, the reaction we get almost every time is, "This is the best joint I've ever smoked," or just like, "Holy shit, this thing is potent," or like, "Oh wow, like yeah, like I smoke a lot and this got me super high." And so like we joke that, which it's not even a joke, it's real. One Space Coyote can get 10 people high, and it's going to be the best experience that you have. And so, in the early days, that was really helpful because we were this no name brand that came out and would struggle to get meetings with buyers. And all we had to do was get them to try our joints. And if they tried our joints and they said, "Hey, you're right, this is a great joint, let's bring you into the store."
Oh, that's awesome. So you at Space Coyote, you guys seem to have just incredible brand loyalty among customers. And clearly it's partly to do with just the quality of the product. They keep coming back for more. But what efforts have you really made over the last couple of years to really secure that brand loyalty with customers?
Yeah, that's a great question. So really and I'm going to answer this kind of from a macro perspective first and then get into the details a little bit. But the way that we've always looked at our company and at the cannabis market as a whole is that at some point brands are going to become very valuable. And that's because flower will get commoditized. It has actually taken longer than we thought it would, but it looks like this year there is, for the first time in California, there's an oversupply of flower, meaning that flower is finally getting commoditized. And when flower is commoditized, when anyone more or less can get access to the same type of quality, then the only thing that really differentiates different companies is, one, the uniqueness of their product, and two, the strength of their brand. And so from day one, we knew that we didn't want to just build a product company. We wanted to build a brand. And so with that, the first thing that we did when we launched was we created an experiential event where, and this was of course before COVID, when everyone could sit in a room and smoke joints together and there were no issues. So we threw these series of events that really, our goal was to make people feel what it was like to be a Space Coyote. And I mentioned it earlier, but really being a Space Coyote and the Space Coyote brand, it's about this idea of living the dream, and like, or you could call it living the California dream, or living your best life, and being able to do that through both cannabis, but also what you love, and whether that's being an artist or your, say, a tech job or whatever, but just living the best life that you can. And part of that is the way that you recreate and using cannabis or working remotely or living somewhere beautiful. And so at these events that we would throw, there would always be art involved, typically music. So our first one was a live record listening party. So we have a friend who's a DJ who he tells stories along with every song that he plays. And so we would do a sativa set in the beginning where the songs were a little more energetic. And then we'd do an indica set afterwards that we would pair it with the sativa and the indica joints. And so we did a couple events like that with music. Another one with an extremely talented musician from New York who it was truly the most psychedelic experience I've ever had with weed. It was when we launched our first diamonds infused joints, and he played with the indica set. He played this set of music that it transported you to the bottom of the ocean and then to the deepest, most green forest and then up into the sky. And it was,
oh my gosh,
it was just so incredible. And so we've always tried to do things like that. Now we've built a Space Coyote bus that is touring the state and going to different dispensaries mm-hmm. where people can hang out in the bus and smoke a joint there and just like feel this Space Coyote vibe. Libby and I also do a live stream on Facebook every week that typically gets between like 30,000 to, we had a couple go viral that went up to over 1 million views, but really just sharing the way that we live our lives and the way that we've built the company and built this, you know, work-life balance and mental health for our employees and yeah, really just this California cannabis dream. And that's what we want to share with people. And that's the brand that we're creating.
Okay. Very cool. And if I'm not mistaken, Scott, is Space Coyote like totally a remote company at this point?
We are. Yeah.
Okay. So can you tell us a little bit about that aspect of the company and maybe the pros and cons of being remote and how that influences the work culture and kind of performance at Space Coyote?
Definitely. This was something that we talked a lot about when we founded the company. And even with our first set of investors, we told them directly, before you invest, we want you to know that we will make business decisions that put employee health and happiness above profits. And like, we want you to know that and be okay with that before you put money into the company. And the response that we actually got back from our investors was, great, we actually think that that's going to end up making you more profitable. and I think that is completely true. And really a lot of it came from, again, my experience with my last company and just learning things that went well and things that didn't. And this was a situation that the reason I ended up leaving my last company was actually for health reasons, because when I started that company, my co-founder and I talked about it and we said, we want a culture where we are the hardest working company and everyone is putting in 110% and that's going to be the culture that we have. And that's very like, you know, Silicon Valley, MIT tech mentality. And I was really proud of that to begin with. But after being at the company for 5 years and running it in that way, I was building this company to try to help make other people healthy. And my own personal health was completely deteriorating. I actually ended up having to take two medical leaves of absence from my company because my Crohn's disease got so bad. I lost 30 pounds in a month at one point. And my doctors were saying that the only choice I had was to remove my colon. And when that happened, I really had to take a step back and say, like, wow, okay, where have you gone wrong? Like, why has your health gotten to such a bad place that you literally cannot go to the office? You can't work. You have to take a medical leave. And so when I did really take a step back and focused on that, then I realized that, you know, like this mentality of we're going to be the hardest working and putting in 110% all the time, that might work if you look at things in a sprint or in this like finite game perspective. But really, and this is a concept that we can talk about more too, like we're playing an infinite game here. We're playing a game where the goal is to stay in the game for as long as possible mm-hmm. and to build a long-term successful company, not a company that, you know, executes and quote unquote wins in 2 or 3 years. And so if we wanted to do that with Space Coyote, I knew that we had to prioritize health and happiness above everything else, because if we have a team that is healthy and happy and focusing not just on their physical health, but also their mental health, that's how we're going to get the best performance out of employees. And, you know, working, if you work 60, 70 hour weeks, but only 30 of those hours are productive, then like you should only be working 30 or 40 hours and then resting the rest of the time, because then you'll be really productive when you're actually working. And that type of mentality has really worked well for us. I think because of that, our employees are really grateful. I've had employees multiple times say things like, "You're the best boss I've ever had," or like, I've never worked for a company that actually cared about my health before, and things like that, which to me is like, that's part of being an entrepreneur, is to build the best environment possible. It's not just to make money with the products that you sell.
Absolutely. Well, I love your entire model and the work culture that you've really fostered at Space Coyote. It seems like such a fun place to work. And that's something you said a few minutes ago about this is an infinite game. And I really agree with you there on that. And something else that you have done at Space Coyote that really ties into that is, instead of jumping in the rat race and trying to compete with your competitors, you partner with them and kind of bolster each other up to profit together and find success together. So can you tell us a little bit about those efforts and maybe one or two of your favorite partnerships to date?
Yeah, definitely. I'll explain the concept of the infinite game versus finite game a little bit for any of your listeners that aren't familiar with that. But it's a concept that Simon Sinek talks about a lot. And an infinite game is one where the goal of the game is to stay in the game as long as possible. Players can come in or out. There's no fixed rules. And really, if you look at it, life is an infinite game. And business should be an infinite game. Whereas a finite game is more of like a soccer game where there's set rules, the players are defined, people can't come in and out, and somebody wins at the end. And I think the way that most companies today, especially in America, look at business is in this finite game mentality. But the issue is that, you know, companies aren't built to last 2 years or 5 years or 7 years. A company should be built to last indefinitely. And if we want to have that perspective, that means that in the infinite game that we're playing, we're not trying to win. We're not trying to just beat our competitor. We're not trying to, you know, have someone else lose. We're trying to, for ourselves and also for the good of the industry, we want as many companies and as many people to be successful as possible. And so that is part of what we did from the beginning was collaborating with extract brands, which, for example, our first collaboration was with Nasha on their hash, which that's one of my favorite collaborations. That was the first one that we did. We still work really closely with Baron and his team over there. And today Nasha has their own infused pre-roll on the market. And that's not something that we're upset about at all, because it's good for his business and we have our market share, and our market share is still growing. And like there's room for more than one of us. There's room for many players. And so we really want to help build up the industry as a whole. I think the more the industry as a whole is successful, the more individual companies can be successful. And the best way to do that is to collaborate with other companies.
That's great. Yeah, I love what you said there. Just there's really a piece of the pie for everyone. And I think the cannabis industry is becoming more and more collaborative, and I love to see companies like yours that are really leading the charge there. So that's awesome. So jumping into another key initiative at Space Coyote, you make a lot of efforts towards being a sustainable company and really trying to pick the best packaging options and reducing your carbon footprint at Space Coyote. So yeah. you commissioned a full review of packing options when you first started Space Coyote, and you tried to take a look at their environmental impacts. You actually discovered that compostable plastics came out at the bottom, which I found pretty surprising when I read that. What do you use instead at Space Coyote, and how are you guys working to make your packaging even more sustainable?
Yeah, so that whole situation was a total mindfuck because I was expecting compostable plastics as well to be the best option. And yeah, what we learned was that it was, in fact, the worst. And this is a case, so we hired a friend who is an environmental consultant. She was equally surprised as us. And I think it was just as difficult mentally for her when she delivered the findings to us. But really, when it comes down to it, and as we've thought about this, and this is one of the other reasons why it's a bit of a mindfuck, is that as a company that produces products, there is no way that you can't make a negative impact on the environment. Mm-hmm. And so that's something that I personally just had to sit with for a bit and just think about, like, okay, we're like, there's no way that we're not at least going to make some negative impact. So what's the best thing to do then? Do we shut down the business or like what? But really, I came back to one of the people that I really respect as a businessman and the way that they've set up what they do is Yvon Chouinard, who's the founder of Patagonia. And he talks about this a bit too. And his perspective is that it's a company's responsibility to make as little impact as possible. It's impossible to make zero impact. So what can you do to make as little impact as possible? And so with this packaging review, what we found was really the best thing that you can do is to reuse things. Anything that you produce, whether it's compostable plastic or normal plastic or glass or aluminum, the best thing that you can do is to reuse things. And so that's why our five packs are in these aluminum tins that happen to be the perfect size to fit your credit cards in, or you can store your jewelry in there, or condoms, or medicine, or whatever. And so we really encourage people to reuse our packaging as much as possible. The environmental study that we commissioned actually found that as far as like greenhouse gas emissions, impact on the watershed, energy usage, that type of thing, plastic is actually one of the best options. I am a huge lover of the ocean. I've lived near the ocean my entire life. And the way that I de-stress is by going swimming or going surfing and just spending time on the beach whenever I can. And whenever I see plastic on the beach, which is literally every time I go to the beach, it pains me. And I spend I try to spend part of every month in Hawaii. That was my home for the past couple of years. And I mean, I've had to rescue sea turtles from fishing line, and I've pulled so much trash off the beach. And using plastic is just something that I want to get away from as much as possible. So our joint tubes have been plastic, and we kept them that way for a while because we really wanted to think about what we could do that was better. And it's difficult to find an aluminum tube that is child resistant and actually preserves the integrity of the product well through air seepage. So we're actually moving to glass tubes very soon, which have their pros and cons. They're a lot heavier than plastic. Mm-hmm. And so the energy usage to ship them is higher. But from my perspective, the ocean is, it's the largest thing on the planet. If we destroy the ocean, we're going to destroy the whole planet. And so whatever we can do to help prevent that plastic getting into the ocean, I think is positive. We've looked at using plastic that was recycled and harvested out of the ocean, which I still would like to do at some point in the future. That isn't at a scale yet where it can make sense for a company like ours, but I think that there's a lot of options that can be good. But really, when it comes down to it, we just look at, okay, how can we make the smallest impact possible? How can we encourage people to reuse? And what else can we do as a company beyond just the packaging decisions that we make to try to encourage others also to make as little impact on the environment as possible?
That's great. Yeah. How mind-blowing that compostable plastic is at the bottom there. I really did love seeing that you guys are moving to glass, which I know, like you said, has its pros and cons, but that's awesome that you guys are moving that direction. So you're now, if I'm not mistaken, you're now in 250 dispensaries across California. What goals do you have now at Space Coyote over the next few years? Do you have any big plans coming up listeners should know about?
Yeah, so two big things. So the first is we're launching a new project very soon at the end of this month that's called the Sativa Preservation Society. And this is a project that is really near and dear to our heart. It's an idea that Libby and I talked about from day one, and we're just now being able to make it a reality. But in the cannabis market today, you can buy sativas and you can buy indicas, but really everything that you buy is a hybrid. And it's really difficult to find pure sativas. And that's because the sativa growing cycle is much longer than the indica growing cycle, and typically yields are a little bit lower. And so it might take sativas 14 weeks to flower, whereas it takes indicas 8 weeks to flower. And for a farmer, it's difficult to make the same amount of money on something that takes almost twice as long. And so everything's become hybridized. And that means that whenever you're smoking a sativa, and for people that like those, you know, more energetic effects, it's what you can get on the market today is just not the same as what was available from the original genetics. And so we've been able to partner up with an incredible cultivator named Possible. And we have the exclusive access. As far as I know, this is the first time these specific strains have ever made it to the legal market in any state. So we have, we're starting with three of the original haze strains that were brought over from the Netherlands by Neville. And they're the strains that popular strains that you've heard of today, like Super Silver Haze or Jack Herrera or strains like that, Blue Dream. These all originated from these haze strains. And they look funky. They have a smell that you probably have never smelled before in cannabis. It's like this frankincense-y, just like interesting smell. And the high, it's legitimately like drinking two cups of coffee.
Wow.
And it's just so cool. And this weed, like one of the strains is called Cuban Black Haze. It was known as the Piff in New York for a while. And people used to pay like $800 an ounce for this stuff in the black market because it's so unique. And we now have it at scale. We'll be presenting it to the California market at the end of this month. And the high is just so incredible. I'm so excited to get that out there. And that really speaks to what I was talking about earlier, in that it's anyone can be a product company, but not anyone can build a unique brand. Mm-hmm. And part of the way that we do that is by creating unique products. So even our infused joints, when we came out with them at first, we did them differently than the other infused joints because we thought it was a better quality way to do it. With the Sativa Preservation Society, these are strains and genetics that nobody else has and is just so unique. And it's not the like your latest wedding cake or ice cream cake or gelato cross that is absolutely everywhere. Like, this shit is unique and awesome. So we're really excited about that. And the other thing that we'll be looking to do very soon is to take our California brand and start bringing that across the country. We've seen, you know, a lot of the MSOs are taking more of like the east to west approach. What I think is really going to end up winning, winning is sort of more from the finite game perspective, but what is going to be successful in the long term, I really do believe, is California brands coming to other parts of America, because that's what people think of when they think of weed. They think California, they think smoking on the beach. They think about a brand like Space Coyote if they haven't even heard of Space Coyote before. And we just really believe that we're setting ourselves up to be the perfect brand to bring back to the East Coast or to places like Arizona or the Midwest, and to really, yeah, sell that, you know, that California dream in a joint. And we're really excited to get that started.
That's great, man. Okay. So lots of big things ahead. I'm really excited for you guys and excited to see you kind of, like you said, expand across the country into the East Coast. So Scott, pivoting into some personal development questions here before we wrap up the show. First question here, is there a book that's had a big impact on you and maybe kind of like your life philosophy that you'd like to share with listeners?
There is, yeah. It's actually required reading for any new employees that join Space Coyote. And it's the book written by the founder of Patagonia, Yvon Chouinard. It's called Let My People Go Surfing. I read that book in between leaving NEMA and before starting Space Coyote. And it really had a profound impact on the way that I think about not just business, but also life, and really this perspective of, do as little harm as possible and treat your employees right and prioritize health and happiness. And it's really an incredible story. It tells both his story of how he started Patagonia and kind of the ethos that went into that. I think they had the first on-premise childcare of any major company in America. And then that ended up becoming standard in a bunch of companies. And they've done a lot of things like that really just prioritize their employees first. And I mean, we can see today they're an insanely valuable company, have grown a ton. And that really stems from their ethos and the way they do business. So that book has had a really big impact on me. The other book that I recommend to anyone who wants to be an entrepreneur is The Hard Thing About Hard Things by Ben Horowitz. And that is the most real business or entrepreneurship book that I've ever read. I think a lot of books just, you know, they give these concepts and these theories and all this stuff, but that book it's really just a set of stories from the battle trenches written by Ben Horowitz. And it's just a lot of really good lessons for, you know, for any company, for any founder. You're going to have times when things are really difficult and you might be afraid of going out of business, or you have to deal with some really difficult employee issues or that type of thing. And that stuff can be really stressful. And he has a lot of very good advice in there that is very empathetic with what any founder will go through.
Man. Okay. I'm going to have to put those on my reading list. I had actually listened to the Patagonia is How I Built This interview. I don't know. Have you listened to that one?
I have not. I'm going to have to check that out.
Oh, man. I highly recommend it. It's funny. Reading, when I was researching Space Coyote, I saw so many parallels, and I wondered if you had taken maybe some inspiration from him. But yeah.
100%.
That's awesome. So cool. Okay. So moving into our next question here, Scott, you kind of touched on this earlier, but you've talked about your personal connection between cannabis and music and how those two things are kind of intertwined for you and they really enhance each other. What's a band or maybe a concert that you've been to where you found that especially true?
Oh man, all of them. But for me, the combination of cannabis and music is just so incredible. I think one of my favorite experiences was with a band called Kikagaku Moyo. Mm-hmm. They are I'll look up the spelling so your listeners can find it.
Yeah, that'd be good.
it's spelled Kikagaku and the next word Moyo, Moyo.
Okay.
And they are a Japanese psychedelic rock band. And they're like, you can find their stuff on Spotify and like, it's good, but seeing them live is just one of the most incredible experiences. They have a guy who plays an electric sitar and they're like all barefoot on stage. And they have that like long, perfectly straight, like Japanese psychedelic rocker hair. And they're such like a blast from the past, which I often joke with my friends that it's like, I feel like I was born or should have been born in the 60s. And they just put on such a great show. And I remember the first time I saw them was in San Francisco. It was actually shortly after launching Space Coyote, and Libby and I and a couple friends smoked a Space Coyote before going in and watching this show. And it was just one of the best musical experiences I've ever had. And now they're starting to gain a little more name recognition. I think they're on tour in California this summer. So I highly recommend people to find them and go smoke a Space Coyote and listen to some Japanese psychedelic rock. But that has definitely been one of my favorite experiences.
Awesome. Man, that sounds so cool. Yeah, I'll have to check them out. Well, Scott, wrapping up here, how can listeners find you online and connect with you at Space Coyote? And how can they maybe try a few of your products if they're in the California area?
Yeah. So the best way to find me is on Instagram at Scott Sundvor, SCOTTSUNDVOR. They can find Space Coyote on Instagram as well at Space Coyote Official. And our website is a great place, especially because we will be launching a direct-to-consumer site within the next week or two. So people can go to our website, spacecoyote.org, and order, if they're in California, in most of the major metropolitan areas, they'll be able to order directly from our site, delivered right to their door, typically within the next 24 hours. And that's at spacecoyote.org.
Awesome. All right, Scott. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. We really appreciate hearing from you and really wish you the best of luck with everything coming up for Space Coyote over the next year.
Thank you so much. This was great being here. Really enjoyed the questions and talking with you.
If you enjoyed the show today, please consider leaving us a review on iTunes, Stitcher, or whatever app you might be using to listen to the show. Every 5-star review helps us to bring the best guests to you. Learn more at canainsider.com/iTunes. What are the 5 disruptive trends that will impact the cannabis industry in the next 5 years? Find out with your free report at canainsider.com/trends. Have a suggestion for an awesome guest on Canna Insider? Simply send us an email at feedback@canainsider.com. We'd love to hear from you. Please do not take any information from Canna Insider or its guests as medical advice. Contact your licensed physician before taking cannabis or using it for medical treatments. Promotional consideration may be provided by select guests, advertisers, or companies featured in Canna Insider. Lastly, the host or guests on Canna Insider may or may not invest in the companies or entrepreneurs profiled on the show. Please consult your licensed financial advisor before making any investment decisions. Final disclosure to see if you're still paying attention. This little whistle jingle you're listening to will get stuck in your head for the rest of the day. Thanks for listening, and look for another Canna Insider episode soon. Take care. Bye-bye.